Welcome, dear listeners. We just got the power back in the studio. We're sorry we couldn't even let you know that we're going to have a shutdown. After the program by Raghu, we had to shut down and we had to skip one segment, the Outside Inside Deep Inside segment. Fortunately for us, the power is back and right in time for the afternoon satsang. So as always, this is Prem from Team Radio Sai with Arvind from our studios in Radio Sai. We most lovingly offer our humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet and welcome you to this week's episode. To introduce the topic and to dive into the topic, we'll invite Arvind to join all of us. Sairam, Arvind.
Sairam, Prem, and Sairam, dear listeners. Today we have picked up a topic and a theme which I'm sure will be of interest to all of us, at least to many of us, because all of us who are connected to Radio Sai are definitely connected to Prashanthi Nilayam. We have possibly visited also Prashanthi Nilayam in spite of us being in different countries, and it is an important goal in our life, if we have not yet visited Prashanthi Nilayam, to actually make some time and collect enough resources in order to afford this trip to come till Prashanthi Nilayam and make a visit. So therefore Prashanthi Nilayam is on top of the agenda for all of us who wish to be connected to Swami. So we decided that it would be appropriate and nice if we can actually come up with a discussion on how best we can utilize our time when we are in Prashanthi Nilayam. You know, whether we are permanent employees, whether we are part-time employees, whether we are permanent volunteers or part-time volunteers, or whether we are just once in a while visitors or regular visitors, or whether we are here to do seva as part of the state seva group, whatever may be the reason why we are visiting Prashanthi Nilayam, say be it even as a tourist, is there something that we can do to ensure that this visit, this stay, which may span from a few hours to a few days to even a few years or a few decades, is the most fruitful for us, is the most beneficial for us? And we both had our curiosity piqued to know what would be the answer, what would be Swami's answer for this. And I'm sure that all of you also have your curiosity piqued to know what is the best way to utilize our time when we are in Prashanthi Nilayam. So as always, we dived into Bhagwan's discourses and some very, very interesting insights, some very beautiful points we discovered, and we thought we would share this as a satsang. Let me place the disclaimer right in the beginning that as all our satsang, this will not be a comprehensive and complete coverage of all that Swami has said. But we have gone through quite a few discourses and came across some very specific points that Swami has made regarding making the best of the time that we spend at Prashanthi Nilayam. So that will be the theme for today. How do we make the best of the time spent at Prashanthi Nilayam? We hope once again that it has piqued your curiosity and interest. So with this introduction, I think Prem, I'll invite you to take the first dive.
And absolutely. The reason why this topic is very important and essential for all of us is, I think we never asked this question, though the discourses we're going to quote are from discourses which Swami himself has given. Not many of us really ask these questions when Swami was physically available for, you know, giving darshan or the ability to converse with Swami, because you don't need any more reason than that. You know, why do you have to come to Prashanthi Nilayam? Because Swami is here, you have to see him, you can interact with him directly. And that was one reason more enough to, you know, make people travel from thousands of miles away and come. But the fact is, going back to these discourses, the interesting thing is, if we were to see what is there that Prashanthi Nilayam can offer, and why is it that we have to keep coming back here, or whatever little time we spend here, it is important to us, we will see that whatever Swami says holds good even for any time to come, and even for now when we can't physically see Swami. And that is why probably we might not have thought of this necessarily when Swami was around, but now we have to importantly see it. And in many ways, probably there might be some listeners who would have thought about this, and whoever would have thought about this would have made the best use of even Swami's presence when they came here. And the fond hope is that by going through this, we will still be able to come here and enjoy that same presence of Swami here, because it is there to be found, you know, and it is not being told by you and me, who probably some people might think that we have a selfish interest in marketing Prashant Nilayam. But we have been told this by so many people who have not known the joy of seeing Swami in His physical presence, known the joy of being in Swami's presence. They come back and say there's something special about this place. We can't put a finger on it, but there is something special and definitely there.
As you said, we can't put a finger on it, but, you know, we can try to put multiple fingers on multiple reasons. Starting off right from the beginning in the 1950s, actually late 1940s, if we see Prashanthi Nilayam has actually been built by Swami, brick by brick, stone by stone, with cement, with whatever. From the design to the placement to the materials procurement, everything. In fact, a cursory glance at the chapter called Prashanthi Nilayam in the Satyam Shivam Sundaram part 1, the first part of Bhagwan's biography penned so beautifully by Sri Narayan Kasturi Garu. If we look at that chapter itself, it becomes evident one of the most special things about Prashanthi Nilayam is that it has been built by Bhagwan. You know, whether it is the granite stone that was needed for building the Prashanthi Nilayam, you know, there is that episode of how when they were planning to procure it, Swami said, no, wait, there is a time for it. And that was the night when they had a heavy rain, a thunderstorm, in fact, with a lot of lightning and thunderclaps. And the next morning, a big granite rock, which was part of a hillock, which the people had proposed to break down to use for construction of the Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir, they saw that this rock had actually been struck by a lightning bolt and it had been shattered, making their work so much easier. In this sense, if we keep looking at the different incidents and episodes, I'm sure Prem will recollect a couple, we will realize that Prashanthi Nilayam was built not just with human force. There were forces of nature, there was divine force, everything that came together to work harmoniously, because this was to be Prashanthi Nilayam, the abode of supreme peace.
And Swami would often, talk about this word itself, I mean the name itself which Swami has given, Prashanthi Nilayam. Swami said, I could have well named it Shri Satyasai Ashram. Right, going by the regular trend of nomenclature, the institute is named after Swami, the hospitals are named after Swami. Swami said, I particularly did not name it Ashram because this is not a place meant for you to come and relax and find peace. Swami said, this is a place where you will find the peace within, which is independent of all the conditions outside. And probably that itself is a clue for us to what is it that we have to look for in this place. And one thing is, I think it will have a flavor of a regular ashram also. It is not that Swami said, I'm going to build something drastically different. But there's something more than what meets the eye which you have to look for. And that is what Swami was calling our attention to. And that's what we'll try to focus on today when we are going to go back to those discourses.
See, all said and done, as you said, the name is so significant. I mean, because I just mentioned it, let me just go back to say that even whether it was placing the girders on the top, when there was a need for heavy equipment to come to Prashanthi Nilayam, I mean, I'm saying come to Prashanthi Nilayam, come to Puttaparthi, because there was no Prashanthi Nilayam. When it had to come to Puttaparthi, they wondered how will they get such equipment, because nothing is available nearby, and even if it's available, how will it navigate through all these lanes and by lanes, how will it make the turns, because it was not easy to reach Puttaparthi via Bukkapatnam. Exactly at the point in time they needed, there was a crane and other heavy equipment which was going towards the construction of some dam in Karnataka. Mm-hmm. And they broke down. They broke down near Anantapur, close to Puttaparthi, and they were desperate. That information was brought to Swami. Swami just smiled because he knows, right? He materialized Vibhuti and he gave. You know, I had heard of Swami giving Vibhuti to cure illnesses of people. Here Swami gave Vibhuti which was sprinkled on the engines of these heavy machinery, and within minutes of Vibhuti being sprinkled, they started up. And possibly out of gratitude, out of awe, out of wonder, because I don't think any mechanic would have cured or would have repaired a vehicle in this manner by sprinkling ash over it. So they actually came and they carried and put the girders. You know, it was, And at the same time, you know, when even the girders were being put, it was not as if the machine could do it, because the engineers who came along with the machine said that it's all this is fine that it has come till here, but it will not have the capacity to actually raise these girders. That is when, you know, the devotees put up pulleys and put ropes and shouting, you know, with all their energy, shouting the name of Sai Ram, they pulled it up. And when you say Sai Ram, when the name is there, the form is also there, the energy is definitely there. It was a technical miracle. It was an engineering marvel for those engineers to witness that these girders actually went up with not sufficient machines being made up with some manpower, you know. So this was so thrilling for them. This was so amazing for them. That is why I say, you know, this Prashanthi Nilayam has been built. It has been built also with a lot of effort. In fact, we boast of Swami's hospital being built in under a year, the indoor stadium being built under 150 days and all that. Prashanthi Nilayam itself took 2.5 years of a lot of sweat, hard work and toil of everybody, the machines, the men, Swami himself concerned. So, as you rightly said, the name itself gives an indication. When Swami says that it is not an ashram in the traditional sense, that gives an indication of what to expect. The very fact, the way the ashram was built also shows that this is a kind of a karma bhumi. This is a place where it's not that you will sit and relax and get elevated. Here is a place where you'll receive prashanti, which is the highest that anyone can seek, because prashanti means the supreme peace, the absolute state of being, you know, peaceful. That is what all of us are seeking in life. We are seeking in life to be less restless and more peaceful. This is the highest peace. It is available, but it's not available by simply sitting in a place or whiling away time or relaxing. You'll have to work very hard for it. So both these things exist. Hard, intense work, absolute supreme peace. I think these two terms effectively and quite comprehensively describe what Prashanthi Nilayam was built for by Bhagwan, inaugurated on the 23rd of November 1950.
And the process by which it was built, you know, the couple of stories that you said, even the story of the granite stone being brought from one of the small hillocks in on the banks of Chitravati. I mean, it was absolutely miraculous. But one of the other things which people remembered when they went to bring those stones was that was probably one of the rocks on which Swami used to sit with the other devotees and do bhajans for many, many hours when Swami used to go for his Chitravati sessions.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was planned much ahead, and Swami had literally, vitalized that granite, which was used later. And even the ashram itself, in fact, when we were having the Go Green conference, there was one particular incident that somebody was making a reference to, where the earlier devotees, Swami used to make them water the plants around Prashanthi Nilayam. And all of them, it was all fed by their love. Today, if we see Prashanthi Nilayam the way it is, the kind of greenery that we see, it was all initiated by Swami, and it was a labor of love by all of these people. And even when the Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir was being constructed, at the end of the day, Swami used to give something like a small token of his appreciation in the form of a few rupees to all the people who had worked.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so sweet.
That's how it usually happens on the construction site when people take their daily wage. But it was Swami who was standing there. Swami was giving out money to all of them and telling Bangaru, you did well. And, you know, you worked very hard. Take rest, eat well, and all of that. So literally every part of this place has been built that way. And that is one of the things that Swami would often say. In fact, when, Swami went to Badri on that trip, 1960. Mm. When he came back, Swami made a very beautiful statement. He said, if you see the hundreds and thousands of people who flock to places like Badri and the other pilgrimage centers, Swami said, you feel India is still alive. You feel India still has hope, because there is devotion in the people of India still. And then Swami said, these are all places which are not special because of the deity there, but it's because of the love that has been showered on that deity. That is what creates the place, that's what creates the vibrations of that pilgrimage. And if you were to see that way, Prashanthi Nilayam was such an extended period of such focused devotion and love on Swami. And that has been the essence of this place.
And when we say love showered on the place, it's not just by the devotees, it's by Swami also. See, that same rock which was used to construct the mandir, You know, it brings to mind a very beautiful, I feel it's such a metaphor, because, you know, Swami picks up a rock, any rock, it doesn't matter, ordinary rock, but then with his touch he makes it a special rock. Now that rock definitely became special because Swami would go there to the Chitravati, sit on that rock, and it becomes a very special rock. Even as the rock starts to think that I am so special because I am the chosen one and all that, what does the Lord do? The Lord goes away, and then you're broken down. That's what happened. Swami is in Prashantin. Swami is at his residence while lightning strikes and breaks down the rock. The rock is broken down. And that time, you know, the rock possibly would have thought, I thought I'm a special rock, but nothing special. Means the Lord sat on me for all these years, but it all for nothing, because in a matter of few moments, I've been shattered. I am shattered and been broken to dust. That's what literally happens to each one of us in our lives. But then you realize that what is being broken is your false image of yourself, or the false purpose in life that you think you're there for, because you're being blessed to participate in a much grander purpose, a purpose that you yourself have not envisioned. That's what would have possibly happened to the rock, because that rock came and it is now standing. It still stands above the Sai Sannidhi. That is the same rock that has constructed the mandir, and for years together, you know, for centuries, for decades, for times immemorial, it will have that joy and blessing of having the avataric frame in its bosom. It held the avataric frame in its bosom. Even today it holds it in its bosom. I mean, isn't this so metaphorical of what happens to each one of us in our lives? We are useless like a rock, and he comes into our life, touches us, and all the importance comes in our life. But sometimes we get swayed and we start building our own visions of ourselves, our own sense of self-aggrandizement and self-importance, which then is broken down brutally. And just when we are down in the dumps thinking that all this came to naught because now I'm shattered, we realize that this shattering is not the end of life, but the beginning of an eternal life, because we are then made part of something that is part of Swami, and therefore it becomes eternal.
And this being such a special place, I think that is what brings the importance of coming to the place with the right kind of preparation, being in the place with the right kind of preparation. And, you know, that's what Swami used to always speak about. Oftentimes they would say, you know, when you have these beautiful sports facilities, which has been given to us, be the Indoor Stadium or the Hillview Stadium, our physical trainer used to always tell us, you know, just because it is available, just don't come in and start playing, and just don't come in and start using these facilities. That way you'll actually injure yourself and go. Mm. He said, when you come into the arena, you should have come warmed up. You know, there are some certain exercises that you have to do. Mm-hmm. Or even when you come before you start playing, you're supposed to do some exercises. And that's when you can use best the facilities which are given to you. It might be world-class facilities. It might be the best stadium in the entire country. But if you're not done your preparation, you will not be able to make best use of it. And on the contrary, you're going to go out of this place with injuries. So I think Prashantin
that's such a beautiful metaphor, right? That's such a beautiful metaphor. That's what holds good for each one of us. If we come to Prashantiniyam without, in quotes, warming up to the place, or without warming up in the necessary ways, instead of going back with benefits of this world-class facility, we will go back injured and possibly think that it's not world-class because it injured me.
Right, absolutely. And I think that is why it's so important to, you know, prepare our mind even when we are here, or even when we are preparing to come here. And many of the discourses which probably we're going to go back to are discourses which Swami had given to the devotees actually who were living in Prashantinilam. Some of them were, of course, for the pilgrims. In fact, most of the discourses Swami would give, Swami would have a reference to, you know, how you have to spend your time when you're here. And especially birthday discourses, when so many devotees used to come, Swami would speak about that. But there were these special discourses which I think invariably would be in the bhajan hall of the mandir, when periodically Swami would call all of these ashram inmates, if you could use that term, who were permanently residing in the ashram, and literally Swami would take them to task. Because there are a couple of things when you talk about the ashram residence, and much of that actually applies to us than most of the listeners. It's because, you know, when you are supposed to come to an ashram and have a certain experience and go, it becomes the onus of the people who are living in the ashram to ensure that they create that atmosphere for the people who come and go. So for them, you know, for a person who's coming as a pilgrim for 3 or 4 days, it's about 3 or 4 days they have to hold on to a certain discipline. But if they have to be able to hold on to that discipline for 3 or 4 days, the residents of the ashram should be able to live that discipline for the entire year. And that is where it's not easy. You know, Swami's discipline is not easy, and that's where there would be a lot of errors, and Swami would take this opportunity to call people's attention to those errors and correct them and say that this is what you're doing, this is not supposed to be done. And in the process, Swami would say, you're misusing this opportunity of being in Prashanti Nilayam.
You know, from what you said, Prem, it becomes so clear that the onus is on both the so-called residents of the ashram as well as the so-called visitors to the ashram. So, because finally, everyone comes and goes as per what Swami has decided. Nobody can step into Prashanti Nilayam without his will. Nobody can step out without his will. So, when we know that the onus is on both and it is so important, I think it, if not anything else, at least we should begin with a mindset of kshama or tolerance, wherein, you know, we understand that if I'm a visitor, I realize that, yes, the person who is an inmate who is supposed to be setting up an atmosphere for me can make blunders. And the same way, if I'm an inmate, I should realize that when I'm capable of making blunders, when I'm also making mistakes, a person who is just visiting for a few days, who is coming from the world, seeped in their own different kinds of problems, they're also capable of making mistakes. So, if not anything, I think as part of our warm-up exercise, one of the first thing is, let us, you know, make up our mind that when we come here, we are going to have some amount of forbearance, kshama or tolerance, at least in the least sense, towards others. Let us realize that I'm not coming here for others' sake, I'm coming here for my sake. So therefore, since I'm coming here for my sake, I'm ready to tolerate and have some forbearance towards situations, towards people, towards events, towards whatever. So I think this is one of the warm-up exercises that we need to do. Whether I'm an inmate, whether I'm here for a long time, for a three-month period, or whether I'm coming here for 3 hours or 3 years or 3 days, I think this is one warm-up exercise that we definitely have to do, because ultimately we are coming here for ourselves. Because the goal of this place is to give us prashanti, which is the ultimate goal of each one of our lives. And therefore, this place encourages us to get into sadhana, which helps us achieve prashanti. So, very important thing to remember right in the beginning, that I'm here for my sake. I'm not here to, you know, I'm not here so that Swami can benefit by my presence. I'm not here so that the ashram benefits from my presence. I'm not here for anything. All other things are secondary benefits. Primarily, I'm here for my spiritual uplift. And if I think to ingrain this in myself, whether I'm coming here as a tourist, or whether I'm coming here as a sevak, or I'm coming here as a sevadal volunteer, or as a visitor, whatever it might be, I think this would be very, very important.
You know, I still recall as a kid, we used to go with our grandfather to get his pension, right? You know, he used to get his pension to one particular nationalized bank. And it used to be such a trouble to go to that bank because it was so far away from the house, and you know, you had to go through the traffic, and sometimes national banks are not the most warm banks and you know, the lines would be long and the people would be a little more rude than the other banks. But still we would make this boring trip every, you know, every month going to this bank and getting that pension. The thing is, We were ready to put up with all of that because that's where the money is. You know, that's where his money is coming to, and that's where he's going to get the money from. I think the same thing as you're saying, that once you know that this is where I am going to benefit from, this is where I am going to find my peace, when you come here with that preparation, you know that it doesn't matter if the person in the counter is going to be a little rude. It doesn't matter to me if there's going to be a long line. It doesn't matter if I have to spend 1 hour waiting, because I'm going to get the money at the end of it. And it's my money, and I'm getting it here, and this is where I need to look for. And I'm ready to put up with all these inconveniences. And exactly as you said, that is one of the important preparations that you have to do Swami has said that whoever has come here, I will give them peace. In fact, so many times Swami has said that, that, you know, nobody would come here and return empty-handed. They will get grace. May not be in the form that we always seek. So when Swami says that, I think it is important for us to always focus on that and say that everything else is only a distraction, that it needs to be treated that way.
At the core of this is that conviction that I am here because I will get benefited in the true sense. If that conviction is not there, that is when the other seas come in of complaint, criticism, you know. If the sea of conviction is missing, the sea of complaint, the sea of criticism, the sea of condemnation, all this will come in. For instance, you were speaking about pension. Let's take another example. When you go to Disneyland or say anything close back home, there are many these theme parks, these fun parks. You pay a huge hefty amount to get in, whether you go to Universal Studios in Singapore or Disneyland in Florida, wherever. You know, whichever theme park you go to, it's quite exorbitant compared to the normal rates because of so many things there. You pay that exorbitant rate and yet you go and stand for entertainment. Because you feel that I need entertainment, I like entertainment, I'm going to get entertainment, I'm going to get entertained. So no problem. For that entertainment, I will stand hungry, you know, I will put up with costly food, you know, I will even give up extra money because I'm going to get entertainment. So the moment I feel that I'm benefiting with something that I like, I'm going to benefit with something that I need, I'm ready to put up with so many things. So it's not just the case of money anywhere, anything else, you know. You know, talk about, thinking of in the recent times, when I had gone to get my US visa, you know. A visa to so many other countries is quite easy to get. And for example, a visa to Singapore, I can sit online, apply and get it off. But if it is US, it is so difficult. But since I want to go there, I'm ready to put up with everything. You know, you can see the glaring difference between the visa rules of United States of America versus visa rules of any other country. But I'm ready to put it up because I want to go. That's it. That is the basis. I want to go. The moment I feel I don't want to go, I'll say, why? I don't care. I don't want this visa. But because I want it, I will struggle and do anything. So the moment there is conviction that there is something I'm going to get here which I will benefit from, automatically kshama comes, automatically tolerance comes. I may sometimes lose my temper, but I will not give up. I will hold on. I may lose and I may get worried at sometimes. I may get upset at sometimes. I may shed tears at sometimes. I may curse at sometimes. That's all okay. But I will not give up. I will not give it up. So that is the thing. So even when we speak of Prashanthi Nilayam, it's not that I'm already like serene and unaffected by anything that goes on. Yes, here also I may shed a few tears at some time, I may get frustrated at some times, I may curse at some times, I may get irritated at some times, but that doesn't make me give it up altogether, because I have done my warm-up and I have my conviction that I am going to benefit from it. And that I think we can get directly from Swami's own words. Swami himself has said that when you come to Prashanthi Nilayam, you know, you are going to get the benefits like I will give you, you know. I'll just quote that possibly from a discourse that Bhagwan gave on the 25th of January 1963. Swami said, of course, along with that there are some others, so I'll read out the whole quote. Swami said, I noticed that while your feet are taking you around by the force of habit around the mandir, your tongues blabber about the faults of others or the price of vegetables or the dishes that you propose to cook for lunch. Before you start your rounds, which you call pradakshina, give your mind as dakshina. Dakshina is thanksgiving offering to the resident of the temple, the Lord. That is the first thing you do and perhaps the only thing to do. Making the rounds is not to be taken as prescribed for loosening the limbs or giving you some exercise. This Nilayam should not be treated with scant reverence. Make the best use of your stay here. Do not treat this chance lightly. You come spending much money and put yourself to much trouble to reach here. But you do not bloom as fragrant offerings at the Lord's feet by learning the spiritual path. So this is what Swami is saying. He in fact says that, he goes on to say later on, that when you work for a temple, you feel it's a seva. This is a place where you're directly serving Swami. You, in another discourse, I will give the reference. when you work over here, when you put in any effort here, know that that effort is directly reaching Swami and I will give you that. So if we keep this in mind, automatically that conviction will come that whatever I'm going to do here, I'm here for my own benefit. And once that conviction is there, I think that kshama and tolerance will automatically be built in.
And that is probably the first and the most important point where you come prepared, where you know you're ready to look beyond a few obstacles and then you're ready to focus on what needs to be focused on. But there are some other important points which we will go through. Probably we'll take a short break now and we'll come back to that. Dear listeners, most of the points we're going to make here are going to be direct references from Swami's discourses. Swami himself saying how best to make use of the Prashanti Nilayam that Swami has gifted us. So I think it's going to be very important to listen to some of these excerpts. But we'll do that after this very short break.
सबके भगवान साई राम साई राम साई राम साई श्याम साई श्याम साई श्याम
साई राम साई राम साई श्याम
साई श्याम साई श्याम प्रशांति निलयम ऐसा धाम जहां बसे सबके भगवान
सारे पाप यहीं कट जाते करते जाओ साई ध्यान, करते जाओ साई ध्यान, प्रशांति निलयम ऐसा धाम जहां बसे सबके भगवान। साई राम साई राम साई राम, साई श्याम साई श्याम साई श्याम,
साई राम साई राम साई राम, साई श्याम साई श्याम साई श्याम।
शांति का सच्चा ज्ञान, प्रेम शांति का सच्चा ज्ञान, प्रशांति निलयम ऐसा धाम जहां बसे सबके भगवान। साई राम साई राम साई राम, साई श्याम साई श्याम साई श्याम,
साई राम साई राम साई श्याम साई श्याम साई श्याम, साई राम साई राम साई राम साई श्याम साई श्याम साई श्याम,
Sai. Welcome back, dear listeners. Before we took that break, I made reference to how Swami had said it is important that one undertakes some activities at Prashanti Nilayam. This is from the discourse on the 7th of July 1985, and Swami says, and I quote, service activities undertaken in other places, such as construction of roads in villages, or in construction of temples, or feeding the people, help to serve only that village or town or those people. But by undertaking service activity in Prashanti Nilayam, one would have an opportunity to serve God directly. Any work done here is an offering to Swami himself. Work has to be taken up in this spirit. One should not be idle. Whatever work is done here should be done out of a feeling of love. You can take up whatever work is appropriate in keeping with your aptitudes and capacity. While doing such sacred work, residents can also carry on their own sadhana. That's end of quote. That's possibly an added point for the residents. But Swami makes it very clear that, you know, it is not like seva done anywhere is the same. There is an added flavor when seva is done in Prashanti Nilayam, because if done with the right attitude, Swami says, it reaches me directly. I think this statement directly taken from Swami should be reason enough for us to understand the importance of how we lead our life and conduct it in Prashanti Nilayam. Because the way Swami says, anything that we do here is an offering to Swami, that should make us introspect on whether all that we are doing in Prashanti Nilayam, is it worthy of offering to Swami.
Very true. I think the point that you made in that discourse which you read out actually leads us to another very important point. And I'm reminded of what our former warden of the Prashanti Nilayam campus was once telling Dr. Shivshankar Sai. There was one occasion when Swami had called all the hostel teachers for an interview, and apparently they had made this prayer to Swami. I think that was a time when the hostel was combined, the school and the university hostel. There were very few research scholars. I think there were about 4 or 5 research scholars. So they were all really taxed, you know, they were running around and they were running this whole hostel. They were in charge of everything. So apparently one of the teachers had asked Swami this, that Swami, we're really tight and we're doing all of these things. Sometimes we're finding it very difficult to, you know, mentally manage the whole thing. So should we take out some time and do some sadhana? Is there any way we can find time in this busy schedule and do some sadhana? And Swami said, yes, yes, you have to do. And Swami said, you have to do your work as sadhana. Swami said, you have to serve the students who are there. And they didn't quite understand what Swami was telling. And then Swami went on to explain that Swami said, you're not doing your work as sadhana. That's the reason why you are looking for sadhana. That's why, that's the reason you feel that doing what you're doing, you don't feel, the way you're supposed to feel. And Swami said, so turn yourself into doing the work that you're doing as sadhana. The reason why I was referring to this and that discourse which you read is, I think for people who, like us, or the people who are visiting Prashanthi Nilayam, they have to remember that even the people who are serving here are doing their sadhana. And even if you come here, even if you come here to offer your service, even if you come here probably as a consultant or you're doing some kind of offering, even in a professional capacity, I think everybody has to remember they come here for their sadhana, come here for their own spiritual progress. And I think that's why Swami makes this, talks about sadhana, and probably we'll connect that with doing work in Prashanthi Nilayam, because Swami says sadhana refers to an activity undertaken for achieving one's goal or purpose in life. The sadhaka has to decide what he or she wants to achieve, what the purpose is. Then sadhana has to be carried out until one achieves that goal. If one undertakes sadhana without knowing these aspects, one will falter, face obstacles and problems. Then one may lose faith in the guru, which could result in a total fall of destruction of oneself. So one must be very careful in doing sadhana. This is the discourse that Swami delivered on 7th of July 1985. And I mean, this is Swami's explanation of sadhana, and Swami saying that you have to do your work as sadhana. And when you're coming here, this is a place for you to do sadhana. So it is a synthesis of all of this. You know, how are you supposed to look at the people who are serving here? How are you supposed to look at your work if you have the opportunity to serve here? And how are you supposed to treat your stay here, even if it is for a couple of days?
This point is so important. You know, because many times we come to Prashanthi Nilayam possibly seeking emotional gratification, entertainment, health, money, a pressure-free life, etc. You know, we are looking for symptoms of absolute internal peace. When you have achieved absolute internal peace, nothing will ever bother you. We approach it in the other way. We are coming here because we don't want to be bothered by all this. That's why many times you see, we would have seen people, and we ourselves would have done that in our lives, when life seems so unfair and no one seems to care, we rush to Prashanthi Nilayam. When things are getting rough and you feel enough's enough, you rush to Prashanthi Nilayam. When dark clouds fill the skies and hide sunshine from the eyes, we rush to Prashanthi Nilayam. Because we think of it as a quick fix for our problems. It is not the quick fix for our problems. It, as Swami says, is a sadhana bhumi. It is a fix for the problems, but it is a sure fix. And sure fix is not a quick fix. You know, the other day, while talking about investments with somebody, I saw, I don't know if this is an actual conversation or an imaginary conversation, but even if it's imaginary, it has a lot of message. You know, apparently Bill Gates, who was at that point in time the richest man in the world, asked the second richest man, which is Warren Buffett, the investor. He said that, you know, when we look at your principles of what has to be done, it is all so simple. Why is it that more people are not following it and becoming rich? And Warren Buffett's response was, yeah, it is very simple, but the problem is everybody wants to get rich fast. And my principles bring you riches only slowly, you know. So that is one more thing about patience, about trying for quick fixes. We come to Prashanthi Nilayam, we say that we had spent, you know, Swami gave interview, Swami spoke to us, I'm devotee, I've been doing this for 2 years, and my life is still like this. We expect instant rewards. The moment I've come here and now my life should change, it should all become heaven, it should all become this, which is not the case. As I said, Prashantiniyam definitely is a sure fix, but it is not a quick fix. That is why it becomes important to remember this point that we are here as a sadhak to do sadhana, irrespective of why we are here. Whether I'm a tourist, whether I'm here as a visiting faculty, whether I'm here to just help in execution of some project as a volunteer, whether I'm a permanent employee, whatever it is that I'm here for, I'm here because I'm doing my sadhana, which will give me a sure fix to my problems of sorrow, frustration, everything, to give me eternal peace or prashanti. But if I'm here for a quick fix, I will not get it. And quick fixes are usually, what are all these, you know? Entertainment, emotional gratification, pressure feel like money, needs. So therefore, it becomes so important to remember that. Of course, it is better to seek these things from Swami rather than seek it from the world. But seeking these from Swami would be akin to, as Swami himself says in a Chinnakatha, seeking coffee powder from the Kalpavriksha. Kalpavriksha, which is capable of giving you everything and anything, you are seeking only coffee powder from it. Of course, you can ask from the Kalpavriksha, it will give you. But isn't that such a waste of the Kalpavriksha or the Kamadenu, the wish-fulfilling cow? So therefore, though it is better to seek from God rather than anywhere else, what is it that Prashantiniyam has actually been built to offer to us? I think that we should remember, because it, as Swami would say, in the beginning I give you what you ask, so that one day you ask what I have come to give. And Prashantiniyam is one of the things that Bhagwan came to give us. I mean, it is one of his major instruments through which he came to give us what he came to give us. And we should definitely keep this in mind and focus on the sadhana, which Swami says, Swami beautifully defines as, sadhana refers to an activity undertaken for achieving one's goal or purpose in life.
It's a very important point, because, you know, as you said, even the idea of being peaceful, or even the idea of having a certain amount of calm in the mind, is actually a symptom. It's not what you come seeking for. I remember a beautiful conversation which one of the old devotees was sharing, when in the interview they told Swami, there's a joke which says that if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Right? And that's what we all the time tend to do. So this elderly lady devotee was apparently telling her plans to Swami of how she was waiting probably for her husband to retire or something, and she wanted to come and settle in Prashantiniyam and be a permanent resident. So she was very fondly narrating this whole plan of hers. So Swami very innocently asked her, why do you want to come and settle in Prashantiniyam? So she said, Swami, I want to lead a peaceful life. And Swami instantly told her something which she was not expecting. Swami told her, if you want a peaceful life, don't come here, Swami said. Swami said, don't come here even seeking peace. Right? I think that's a very profound point which Swami was making. Swami said, as Swami was saying, sadhana refers to going after your goal and purpose of life. Come here with the idea of looking within and seeking for that purpose. If prashanti will be a symptom of that, or will be, you know, an added benefit that you come along with it. But if you come seeking that peace, that's what happens. You know, when you look around, you suddenly feel that, I would feel that sometimes, you know, in festivals, too many people are there. There's so much crowd. But what actually kept us happy even in that crowd was because Swami used to be so happy when he saw the crowd. And that's when you realize that even the idea that this place is very calm and there's, you know, so much of serenity, there are not many people, people are not talking, even those things cannot be the ones that you come here for. You have to come here for that ultimate purpose which Swami is saying. Your goal should be that. The process that you take up should be for that. And whatever sadhana that you do should be done with keeping that in mind. And yes, peace will come. Don't keep peace as your target. It's like keeping a lesser target. And the other thing which would happen is, as you're telling about entertainment and all of that, really sad thing is, so many people come here and, you know, the way Prashantiniyam itself is built is so beautiful. The moment you step into the ashram, the first thing is Swami's Mandir. You know, there's the Ganesha temple and then there's Swami's Mandir. And if you want to do any kind of commercial activity, you want to even buy food, if you want to buy some things, that's in the right far end of the ashram. Swami clearly indicating that that should be your last priority when you come to Prashantiniyam.
If you have 2 minutes, just come in, see the Mandir, leave.
But sadly what is happening is people come into the ashram and they go straight to the other end of the ashram where the shopping complex and, you know, the kiosks are. And they spend more time there and probably lesser time in where what is supposed to be the center of the ashram, which is Swami's mandir, and go away. And that is the rescheduling that we have to do, because Swami would often say this, why do you want to come and ask me for something that you can get by your own effort? You know, success in life, more money in life, protection for your family, or whatever, you know, success in your career. All of this can be achieved if you work a little harder. Why do you want to come and seek that from me? Seek from me something which nothing in the world can give you. Because when you come to Prashanta Nilayam seeking for something which can be found elsewhere, if somebody is going to offer that to you in a better package, probably you will go there. Right? You will miss out the main thing which only Swami can give. So that is why it is very important to come as a sadhaka, live as a sadhaka, and do whatever you do, whether you sit and meditate or you do work, do it only as a sadhaka.
When Swami said that don't even seek peace here, I mean, on the face of it, I felt, hey, this is strange. You named it Prashanti Nilayam. I mean, it is indicative that this is where you get highest peace, but you're telling don't seek peace. But even thinking about it a little deeper, you know, one, this is my effort to try to comprehend why Swami possibly said don't try to seek peace. Because many times it so happens that we love the outcomes, but we don't love the effort. For example, I want to be the topper in my class. I want to get the first rank in my class. That is an outcome that I love. But, you know, when you read the Bhagavad Gita and Krishna tells you, don't keep that goal in mind, just leave it, work for the sake of the work. It is not to say that don't try to get the first rank, but it is in order to insulate you so that you don't get disappointed and give up trying for the first rank. You know, like the author of that Chicken Soup for the Soul, he said that in the beginning their goal was they wanted to reach 1 million copies sold. But he said that at the end of 1 year or something, I don't know the exact time frame, but something like they had sold 800,000 copies. Okay. So he said, do you think I would get disappointed? I will not get disappointed because I aimed at 1 million, but because I put in the effort, I managed 800,000. So in the same way, I may be aiming at the first rank, but if I feel that I'm going to be happy only with the achievement of first rank, then I will not enjoy the process, which is studying for it, probably discussing, giving up possibly my games, giving up my other television time, giving up my telephone time, cell phone time, and dedicating it for studies. I do all of it, and in the end, suppose I ended up in the third rank. And I say, what is the use of all this? And I give up the whole thing. That is why possibly it said, don't aim at first rank, you know. Enjoy the process. Because many times we love the outcomes, but we do not love the effort or the determination that goes into making these outcomes. You know, Many of us fantasize on an ideal family life, you know, a wonderful spouse, understanding spouse, nice children, good parents, nice big family that is very harmonious. That is an outcome. Yes, I love that outcome. But in order to do that, there are going to be many things that I have to go through, the effort and the determination to go through. There will be friction, there will be misunderstandings between husband and wife, between possibly child and parents, between everything. If I am not ready to go through that, work through it, and enjoy working through that, it would be wrong on my part to desire to enjoy a happy family life. Because I cannot. I cannot, because these are all a must. It's almost like if I choose something, I must be also happy to go through all the determination and effort that is needed to achieve that. Otherwise, don't choose that. In the same way, you know, I would love to be rich. But I would love to be possibly a millionaire, but I am not ready to have patience. I am not ready to, you know, give up my personal family time and sit in work and office and enjoy it. There are people who are doing it and getting rich. Now, I want to get rich, but I don't want to do the sacrifices that they have done. In the same way, it works for spirituality also. I love the concept of being realized. I love the concept of being in that supreme peace where nothing affects me. But I'm not ready to go through the sadhana, the determination, the effort that is required to achieve it. Therefore, one thing that we have to, why sadhana is so important is we have to remember that when I'm aiming at a goal and I say I love this goal, what goes unsaid when I'm saying that I love a destination is the truth that I also love the journey. Because if you don't love the journey, then no use of loving the destination, because how can I travel to that place if I don't love the journey? So whatever be our goal, that's why, you know, Swami so beautifully defined in that sadhana, Swami didn't tell Brahma Jnana is your ultimate goal. Swami said, the sadhaka has to decide what he or she wants and for what purpose life is. You decide that. And then sadhana has to be carried on until one achieves that goal. It's a different story that if our ultimate goal is anything other than the ultimate, we are surely going to keep course correcting till we come to the ultimate. But Swami gives that freedom. He says you decide and achieve and then take it up. So if you decide that you want to become rich, be ready for all the pleasures and the pains and the travails, everything that you have to go through, things that you have to give up for the sake. You have to possibly give up family life. Possibly you have to give up because that has to be your sole focus. Then if you say, no, I want to live a very happy family life, then give up earning that extra income. Give up that ability to possibly travel different countries and have fun. Give it up. Because this is most important. So you say, no, let me find out what is most important because I possibly have only one life and in that I can achieve only one thing that is important. And maybe if I get to that kind of thinking, I'll zero in on, I need God. Let me hold on to God. But till that point in time, when we say that we love an outcome, we are ready for an outcome, we would wish to get an outcome, we should also love the effort and the process that goes in getting that outcome. We should also be in love with the determination and the hard work that we have to put in to get that outcome.
Absolutely. I think that is probably why Swami would often say that, this is not Shanti Nilayam, this is Prashanti Nilayam. Because Swami would make that difference between peace and Prashanti. Because, again, going back, we started off with that. This is the ultimate peace which comes from within, which is independent of what is outside. And that's why I said when you come here seeking for the peace, there are many, many places which can actually replicate the kind of peace that you would find in an ashram, right? Where probably the shrama part or the effort part which Swami is referring to can be removed. There are so many ashrams like that where you can take off 1 week. I have some of my, uncles and all that who go to some of these retreats. They pay enormous amounts of money and you let them take away your laptop and phone because you would not give it away unless somebody charges you so much, I guess. And, they forcibly take away all of these things. They cut you off from the rest of the world and they force you to meditate so many hours a day. Right, but the rest of the things are very, very luxurious. You're given a very comfortable room to stay in. You're given good food. It's probably the most luxurious 1 week that you're spending and all of that. You can simulate external peace like that in many, many ways. And that is why if you come here looking for that kind of a peace, that kind of a calm and, only that sort of a external peace.
Actually, when you say that, there are some people who say, why can't you do this in Prashanti? We are ready to pay for it.
Right, exactly.
They want to simulate.
And absolutely. And that is why, it's so very easy to create a setup like that and say that, we will offer you the kind of peace that you will find in an ashram. It's very easy to do that. But what Swami was doing was driving something much deeper. And that's why that what Swami told that devotee was so important. Don't come here seeking for peace. You come here, I'll let you find the peace which is within you, right? Through that process. And that's why that process is so very important. The sadhana that you do, as you were saying, the journey is so very important. And many times Swami would say that, again, going back to what Swami was telling, about, I think this is again when Swami was going to the Badri trip. Swami said, see, that whole journey is there to teach you something. When you go to Prashanti Nilayam, when you go through that whole process, I mean, it's not necessarily just the journey, but even the journey after you reach Prashanti Nilayam, which you have to go through internally. Swami said there's something there to be taught even in that, because the process teaches you something and that's why you're being put through the process. Don't try to overlook that and step over that and then say that I want the ultimate.
See, the problem with simulating peace, if somebody says, what's wrong in simulating that kind of peace? So what if I go and get that? I'm getting my peace, right? Yes. You are possibly feeling the same and I haven't attained moksha, so I don't know what the supreme peace is. So if you ask me what is the difference between this kind of peace that I am simulating versus this peace, possibly I will not be able to tell. But this much we can definitely deduce, that kind of simulated peace will collapse the moment your ability to pay for it collapses. If the peace is dependent on a simulation, the moment the simulation collapses, my peace collapses. Which means if I'm not able to pay, it collapses. Or let me say that, why go and pay for a course like that? I have built my house in that fashion. Great. Tomorrow if there is an earthquake and my house is raised to rubble and I am forced to live in a dormitory, then I lost my peace because my house is dependent on on, I mean, my pieces depend on my house. That's why possibly it's called the true peace or the inner peace, because it should be based on something which is indestructible. It should not be dependent on anything else. It should not be such that if this is taken away, my peace is also gone. That peace which can never be taken away from me, it should be actually a part of me. I mean, then alone will it be true peace. Then alone will I be able to be peaceful irrespective of what happens outside. That is the reason why, though simulated peace, as you put it, may feel the same as absolute peace, it is not the same in its longevity, because the moment the simulation vanishes, the peace also vanishes.
It is important, you know, let us not take the idea that it's not important also. Let's create a place which is so noisy and, you know, dirty, and it's okay. I mean, as we have mentioned so many times, you know, we would often go back to that the example of the Pavlov's experiment. There are some conditions outside which automatically trigger you to think in a certain way, feel in a certain way. And Swami has done a lot of things like that. Things like the kind of modest dressing which Swami had entertained, the kind of cleanliness which you see inside Prashantinilayam is so much more different from what is just outside the gate. Because all of this is important. It all adds to that point. But this alone does not make up that peace. And that's the point Swami was making. Swami is not saying that all of this is not at all important, because I think that's dangerous for us to say as residents of Prashantinilayam, because we are trying to run away from our responsibilities if we say that.
In fact, possibly after this break, we will go into some of the things that Swami has delineated on how we should build up these things so that the ashram is able to offer Prashanti. The point behind speaking about that simulation part is just to say that even if these things seem to be collapsing in certain aspects or certain parts of the ashram, one should not conclude that it is gone, because ultimately what is coming directly because of our connect with Swami. Of course, the other simulations help, but that is the idea. We use the simulations to inspire that peace, possibly to make us thirst for that peace, so that we are able to achieve that peace, which we will be able to hold on to even when the simulation collapses. But all that after this little break. So don't go away anywhere, dear listeners. Enjoy this song, and we will continue with the discussion after that.
Partipuri Charini Palayama. Partipuri Charini Palayama. Ma, aarti parihari.
Welcome back, dear listeners. We are in the middle of a very important and beautiful discussion where Swami has very lovingly told us how we have to make best use of this beautiful gift that he has given us, that is Prashanti Nilayam. And we were talking about some of the points that Swami has made of how we have to prepare ourselves before we come here, when we are here. These are some of the discourses that Swami would give to the ashram permanent residents, sometimes even to devotees who are visiting. We are going through that. And one of the most important points which we've been talking about for the past few minutes before we took the break was about the importance of being a sadhaka when you come here, importance of having sadhana as your focus. In many ways, if that is not there, I think this is one point which even some of our teachers would tell us before we, when we made this choice of wanting to stay as long as possible with Swami and contribute in some way to Swami's institutions. I remember one of my teachers in Vrindavan telling me this. He said, if you want to stay here, you only have to stay here as a sadhaka. If you do not have spiritual goals, then at some point you will find yourself getting frustrated. You will find yourself losing focus on Swami and getting, you know, pulled and by all the obstacles that you face. That was probably one of the finest pieces of advice I ever got, because that's the most important thing. And that was an advice Swami himself would give, that you have to look at Swami as your goal, and Swami as the goal is the ultimate goal. You know, that's not a lesser goal. Yes, for some time you might keep the physical Swami as your goal, in the sense of getting physically close to Swami and getting Swami's attention. But I think it's a very quick process by which you realize that physically being close to Swami means nothing. You have to have the proximity to the real Swami who is within. And that itself is going to make you a sadhaka. And unless that is the focus, unless you are consciously looking at yourself and seeing whether that progress is not happening and doing things to get that progress, you will find yourself losing your way.
Absolutely. In fact, you know, what you just now said, Swami so beautifully says during his 25th Jan 1963 speech, discourse, you know, one thing that Swami says is, you have seen me, you have stayed here, you have heard these discourses. Let me ask, what is the gain? So when you say that physical proximity with Swami is not everything, because Swami himself is asking that. Are you going back unchanged, unaffected? Dogs do not chew sugar cane. They seek a bone instead. Ill-fated mortals recoil when the talk is about God, goodness, spiritual effort and a vision of the divine. But you must pull yourselves up into the purer air of spiritual life. Draw yourselves away from slums and bylanes and travel on the highway to God. Dwell always on the glory of God. Then you will shine in that glory. Adhere to truth. That is the surest means of removing fear from your heart. And you know, when Swami says that this Prashanti Nilayam should not be treated with scant reverence, Swami says, you know, the senses must be curbed into obedient servants of the spirit. For example, I insist on silence. Talk less and talk low when you must talk. I mean, as residents in Prashanti Nilayam, you know, before the break, we said that we will take up some things that Swami had said. So one of the most important things, especially as residents of the ashram, is the sadhana of silence. You know, Swami says, subject yourself to the four filters. One is, before you talk, think, is it necessary? Is it truthful? Is it pleasing? And finally, is it an improvement over the silence? It might be truthful, it might be necessary, it might be pleasing. But even then, you must see whether silence is better or speech is better. In fact, Swami would himself say, if you don't understand my silence, how will you understand my speech? So therefore, one of the most important sadhanas, I feel, is, I feel it so important because of the time Swami emphasized it, and also because many times I have felt that that is something that I need personally, is to control one's talk. You know, because if we look at it, it has multiple ramifications. The ultimate sadhana is to become one-pointed in one's focus on Swami. To become one-pointed, our thoughts should be single-pointed. To make thought single-pointed, one of the doorways is speech. When we have so much of talking going on, the mind can never be single-pointed. And that is possibly why one of the most important sadhanas that Swami insists on is to speak very little, and even when you have to speak, speak it pleasingly. That is one sadhana as ashramites or people living in the ashram or even people visiting the ashram, we have to inculcate and imbibe.
Right. You're talking about four filters. I think one filter will remove 90% of our talk. Is it necessary? I think that itself will remove most of what we are talking, because, I mean, it's what we talk might not necessarily be wrong. You know, it not necessarily be something which is scandalous. Sometimes, yes, we do get into that kind of a discussion. But even unnecessary things, you know, you might be sharing details which are unnecessary, you might be telling people things which are unnecessary. If we were to just pause and think, is it necessary to talk about it? Because as Swami is saying that, you know, it's not about just what you speak, it's about juxtaposing it with silence. Swami is saying silence is important. So if you really have to break that silence, there must be a good reason for you to break that silence. And that kind of filter, if you put, I think 90% of what we speak will be reduced. In fact, Swami goes on to explain even in more detail in that same discourse what Swami says beautifully. He says, do not thrust your sorrow, your needs, your problems into the ears of those who have come here for their own bundle of such things. With their own bundle of such things. They are not interested in adding to their troubles. I am here to listen to you, to console you. Do not by loudness of voice disturb those who are meditating or reading or writing the name of God. All ills are traceable to faulty living in this manner. Very clearly Swami is saying that, you know, even the idea of speaking about your own problems to others, it's not wrong really, but if it can be avoided, if it can be, you know, restricted to a little, to whatever is the minimum possible, I think that's what we need to do.
In fact, this happens, you know, this happens, as you said, it doesn't look like a blatant wrong, but at a subtle level, if you look at it, it is possible that, you know, there have been stalwarts living in Prashantiniliam from ages. There was Professor N. Kasturi. There were many such sadhakas who have stayed here, and just listening to them speak makes you feel so good. You know, recent example, possibly Professor Anil Kumar. Yeah, it is amazing to speak to them and listen to what they have to tell about Swami. But if we start actively seeking out personalities and people in Prashantiniliam in order to, you know, share our problems, as Swami says, thrusting our sorrows, our needs, our problems with the hope of getting a solution, at a subtle level, are we not shifting our dependence on Swami to dependence on somebody else? I mean, it might have happened that, you know, something was bothering me so much in life, and as I was reading a book written by Professor Anil Kumar, I got my solution and it thrilled my heart. So in that point in time for that particular problem, possibly the book written by Professor Anil Kumar happens to be the medium through which Swami is reaching me. But now to give it exclusivity, therefore any other problem I have when I go to Prashantiniliam, I must meet this person and ask all my problems from. I think unconsciously or consciously, we are committing this folly or mistake of moving our dependence away from Swami onto somebody else. Because after that, Swami himself says, I am here to listen to you, to console you. And Swami says, do not by loudness of voice disturb others. Because Swami is saying, telling us that I don't need the loudness of your voice. You don't even have to speak it out to me. Come here and build that connect. Come and rejuvenate that connect. In fact, many times Swami has compared Prashantiniliam to be a workshop. He says, you come here to get rejuvenated, revitalized and repair. What repair is that? That I feel that repair is that repairing of the connect between us and Swami. So if we use our time, energy and whatever we spend in Prashantiniliam to socialize and build other connections other than this one connect between us and Swami, it is a waste of time. Possibly it's even bordering on sin to do that. And therefore it becomes so important that we curtail our talking, because it is through this talking that all this begins, all this making of connections and, you know, unnecessary things and even wrong talk. It might start off as normal talk, which is not wrong, but it will further lead to that as this habit of talking develops.
And this is actually one point which Swami would mention so many times to the permanent residents. Swami would say that you've given up all your ties with your family, you've given up all your attachments and you've come here. Don't build new attachments here. You know, you have come here to be associated with Swami, and that Swami is contacted and that Swami is connected to in silence, in solitude. So seek that silence and solitude. You know, there will always be reasons. I mean, the other aspect of what Swami speaks to residents is Swami saying that to be involved in some activity. So yes, you have to be involved in activity, and being involved in activity will, you know, warrant you to speak a little and converse with people and devotees. And that's why Swami is saying that try as much as possible not to speak. When you have to speak, speak softly and lovingly. And even when you're speaking softly and lovingly, choose what you speak. Do not get into such conversation which is again going to make you bound to another person and build again bridges and attachments to the other people. Keep constantly, be aware constantly what you have come here for.
Absolutely. So, and I think, you know, before we conclude today's discussion, this kind of builds baggage. You know, when we speak and build connections, any other connection other than with Swami only builds on baggage, which later possibly we, at some other point in time, we'll have to give up. So it would be foolish to come to Prashantiniliam and build that. And while speaking on that baggage, I mean, let us not build even any other kinds of baggages, physical baggage, you know. Let's not come to Prashantiniliam because possibly we live very close to Puttaparthi and there's an amazing store over here where you get things very cheap, and I come here to do my shopping. Like as you said, the shopping complex has been kept in the end. But it's amazing if you go and check the amount of large suitcases and bags sold in the mandir stores. It's at an all-time high. And many reasons why the suitcase is sold is not because they are super brands, but because people buy so much from the store that to carry it out, they need another buy the suitcase also. On the uppermost story, possibly that suitcase is available. So when we hear this, of course, if there are needs, there are things to be, I mean, not being judgmental, but if there are things to be, that things that are necessary, it's okay. But it is up to us to see how much we are doing it. Like you said, are we coming here to get those things that can be available anywhere else also? I mean, what is the thing that we should seek here? I think, dear listeners, we will be definitely spilling this discussion over to the next week also, because there are a few more points which we have not completed. We will definitely be completing that. In the meanwhile, please do share your experiences, your thoughts, your feelings, your interactions with Bhagwan, if any, regarding this, about leading life in Prashantilyam. You can write to us at listener@radiosai.org. We will try to incorporate it during our next satsang on the 23rd of August 2018. With that, we pray to Swami to help us inculcate all that we are speaking. May we keep growing in our love for Him. May we learn to dedicate everything at His lotus feet. On that note, we will conclude with a song, on the other side of which, as always, you'll be greeted by Brother Chandu in his segment, Love to Love.
बुद्ध का राष्ट्र महावीर नाम, बोलिए बोलिए जी, बुद्ध का राष्ट्र महावीर नाम। Thank you.